Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you a couple of verses out of 2 Chronicles 1. Start with 11 here. It says, "Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart." Remember that phrase. "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth, or honor, or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king." He said, "Wisdom, and because of that, wisdom and honor are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like." Help me, Holy Spirit. Use me to say something that helps. We've been talking for several weeks now about God's purpose, His plan, His placement. I just think it's so important that we realize that we're not just accidents that happened. God put thought into you before you were born. He put gifts and talents in you before you were born. He had assignments for you before you were born. You see, He had purpose for you. See, your life matters. Your life matters. And the biggest trick the enemy will do to any of us is try to convince us that we really don't matter. You know, that we're just part of the crowd. And I don't know about you, but being part of the crowd's pretty good. But every part of that crowd, every part of the body, God has purpose. He has something just for you. I guess I could say this way, you are special. You're special to God. Now, we've been talking about this for several weeks, and probably we'll talk about it some more. But today I just want us to gather up our stuff and think about what we're thinking about and talk about what we're talking about. And I want us to, what happens, the way this all started is that I just got to watching you. You don't think I pay attention to you, do you? I just got to watching you. Oh, not just the way you act when you come to church, but just seeing some of you different places and just hearing stories about different ones of you. And you didn't know somebody was watching you all the time, did you, and telling on you. But I just saw what God was doing in our church and what He was doing with our people. And I just saw something in you, a love for God. I just saw that you loved God so much and you want to please. Am I talking to the right crowd at first? Okay. But more than anything else, you wanted God. And this all started because I wanted you to begin to expect what that produces. I wanted you to begin to, because of your heart, I wanted you to begin to expect what God is trying to do and wants to do in your life. And sometimes this, when we start talking about our purpose, our place, our placement, our assignments. See, I believe we have a purpose. I believe that God's put that in us. I believe that He has a plan for your life. And I believe He places you in the right place. He puts those gifts in you and those talents and those abilities. And then He puts you in the place that He wants you to carry out assignments. Not just one assignment for a lifetime, but every day there's assignments. And I don't know, what I've noticed is when we start thinking about this, the first thing is we start thinking about, well, I don't know my plan. I don't know what, I don't know what, you know, see, the thoughts start coming to you that I just don't feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I just don't feel, and I just kind of want to put a little bit of that at ease today. But I started seeing, that's something, I started seeing the way that you seek God and the way that you're going after Him. And then I was reading about Solomon, and I saw that when he went after God's purpose in his life, when he, you know, when he went after God's plan, when what God had for him was more important than anything else, then God began to, because of what was in his heart, God began to give him everything else that he didn't even ask for. And I just saw, and when I saw that, I just thought, you know, I want that for you. Okay, I want that for you. I want you. I was describing our church to somebody the other day. Here about a year or so, a year or two back, somebody asked me, well, it was Frank. He asked me, he said, how's the church doing? And I said, we're getting healthy. We're getting healthy. And then a few weeks ago, Frank and I were talking, and he said something about the church, and when he came in and started seeing everybody, and everybody was just smiling, and I said, yeah, I said, now we're getting happy. God wants us to be happy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I just want that will, that for you. And the Bible says, whosoever will. Is it okay if we just talk a little bit today? You know, and what I thought was really great about the story when I was reading Solomon was when God just impressed my heart about all the stuff that he gave Solomon. I mean, it was tremendous. You can't even count it. You couldn't even calculate it today. But that wasn't the great thing about it. The great thing was God's desire to do that. His desire to touch you. See that song, we just sang that song about he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And he does. And if you love your kids, don't you want to do everything good for them you can? Huh? Don't you? And yet Jesus said, if you, being natural, know how to give good things to you, how much more does your Heavenly Father want to bless you, give you good things? Another place he says, give you the Holy Spirit. But you know, those two interact with each other. Because you can't have the Spirit of God in you without having good things come to you. You can't have the Spirit of God in you and know everything that have access to everything he knows and everything he has. You can't have that in you without goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. But I want that for you. And maybe this is your first week here. That's okay. Just don't let it be your last week. You know, but yes, I want that for you too, because I know that's what God wants to. But see, the thing is, you have to want it for you. You have to want it. You have to expect it. And what I see is I see us as God's kids. You know, I don't know what's happening in other churches. I just believe God's doing good things in them. But my mind's focused on you and what God wants to do in you and for you. And you have to expect it. And I just can't imagine what would happen when we all begin to walk every day of our life knowing that we have purpose, knowing that God has a plan for us, knowing that there are certain things for us this very day. Now faith is, he said. And knowing that and walking with that expectancy. That expectancy. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance, that's the very foundation, that means the very foundation of expectancy, of expecting good things. The substance of things hoped for, that word hope, it's close to the word faith, and it just means an exceeding expectation. Walking excited, walking going, wow, I don't know what God's going to do next, Kenny. I mean, we ought to wake up every morning and go, just great grace is on me today. We ought to just wake up every morning and go, my goodness, God, what have you got today? What are we going to do today? Every rock you turn over, you just don't know what might be under. And yes, we got an enemy that's trying to get our focus off and get us to, you know, paying attention to the stuff we shouldn't be paying attention to. I'm sorry, as long as you're here until we put him in the bottomless pit and Jesus sets up his kingdom again, until that time, he's just going to be giving you a hard time. Huh? He's going to be trying to stop you from ever accomplishing anything for God or being what God wants you to be or enjoying what God has for you. But we don't have to look at that. We don't have to focus on that. Are you going to focus on what the devil tells you or are you going to focus on what God tells you? It's your choice. And as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. We're focused on the Lord. Well, I'm not getting very far with this, but I guess I'm just going to say what I'm supposed to say, I guess. But I want that for you. And here's what happens, though. He has purpose. He has plan. But what happens is we work at this stuff too hard. Now I can stand here and tell you what God says about you. But as far as what you think about you, I can't really do much about that. So if you've got a bad image of yourself, if you've got a low esteem, for something, and you know, maybe you growing up through life, you never had a father that gave you affirmation, I can't do anything about all that. The Holy Spirit will if you'll let Him. But He's not thinking little about you. He's thinking big about you. And what happens is we start thinking about this thing like purpose and plans and assignment and placement. And we get under all kinds of pressure. We get under all kinds of turmoil in our inside of us. Going, you know, because can I tell you, none of us ever feel like we're doing all that we're supposed to do. It doesn't matter how good of something that you do. This is terrible English today, but it doesn't matter, you know, that you're still going to think, well, yeah, but I could have done better. And the enemy likes to keep you. He likes to make you just start feeling. He likes to put pressure on you. And thoughts come in like, well, I've missed it. You know, I'm not fulfilling my purpose. I'm not, you know, you have to take care of the inside thing. You understand? You got to take care of what's in here. You got to take care of the hang-ups. You got to take care of the the misinformation. You got to take care of the bad self-image. You got to quit and you can blame everything on the outside for the way you are and the way you think, but the truth is it's what's on the inside that needs fixing. And when you get the inside fixed, the outside starts falling into place. You find out that guy and that gal, they weren't as bad as you thought they were. You find out that it really wasn't their fault. You find out that the pastor really wasn't getting on you. Or you find out that really wasn't a good enough reason for you to leave the church. You find out, are you with me? And we feel like we've missed it, and if we'd have done things different, and we get all worked up, and we get all impatient, and we're going to miss our calling if I don't find something out, and now those of us that are on the back side of life, we're kind of starting to get this a little bit. But I remember when I was young, and man, it just like, oh, if I don't get started, I'm going to miss what God has for me. Can I just tell you something? You're not going to miss it. God's not going to let you miss it. And maybe you've missed it all your life. It's still not too late. You're not going to miss it.
Amen.
We just get all impatient. And I got to thinking, it's been... I'm going to say it's been a long time back. It probably hadn't been as far back as I think, but I'm driving. And, you know, I don't know, it aggravates me when the person in front of me doesn't go as fast as they're supposed to go. Does that bother anybody else? Huh? I mean, man, I'm doing one of these numbers, and I'm going, you know, and I want to honk my horn, but I don't. But I'm honking it inside of me, man. I'm honking it. Get out of the way! Come on, hurry up! And I remember this one instance, and I just doing this and trying to go around, and I finally zipped around them, boy, just boom! And when I went around, I went, yeah, get out of the way, you know. And I got a little further up the road, and there was a stoplight, and it was red. And I stopped, and just a minute or two, here came that person that I thought was going too slow. And we were at the same spotlight. We were at the same spot. He was smiling, and I was all worked up. You get the message, you get the point. You're not going to miss it. God's not going to let you miss it. He doesn't want you all stressed out. He wants you to have peace. And if you can learn this in your younger years, life will be a whole lot more pleasant to you. Be a whole lot more fun for you. You won't get like some of us and be wore plumb out by the time we get, you know, because we've stressed and worried and fretted and all uptight. Let me just read you a few scriptures. I don't usually read you a lot of scripture, but I want to read you some scriptures today, because the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it'll cut, it will divide those thoughts inside of you. It'll divide, it'll show you what you're thinking right and what you're thinking wrong. It'll divide, it'll just cut right through those thoughts. It'll show you the intents of your heart. And then the power of that word will help you change that. But let me just, God wants you to have peace. In Isaiah 26:3, he says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. See, I'm saying, just trust God. He knows where you're going. He knows how to get you there. And if you'll just keep focused on him, you'll have peace. It'd be okay. Now, I understand we got different types of personalities, and my type of personality is kind of relaxed and laid back. I'd just soon not have any hassle and all that. But I know we got some here today, and boy, yours is get everything figured out and have it all lined out and have the order and have the pattern and let's get it done and let's get it done yesterday. Come on, so I'm not asking you to fit into my personality, but I'm asking you to let your personality blend, and we'll meet somewhere in the middle. How about that? Because God's good. And He knows you. He made you. And He knew how you were before you were even that way. And if you're a little off, He knows how to get you back on. And I haven't ever seen a time when most of us weren't a little off. Or a bunch off. But it doesn't. God's not too terribly excited. He's not too terribly mad about that. He understands. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you." He says, "Let not your heart be troubled," or quit worrying. Quit worrying about everything. "Neither let it be afraid." Quit. Don't let that in. Just, "I'm leaving you peace." If you don't have peace, you got what the enemy's given you, not what Jesus has given you. I love John 16:33 too, because he said this is all part of the same little segment there that he's talking to us. And he said these things, he's talking to his disciples here. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He said, "These things I've told you so you'll have peace." What did he tell? We'll start with chapter 14 and read through 16:17. What did he tell? He said, "I'm getting ready to leave, but don't get nervous about it, because I'm coming back. I'm getting ready to leave, but I won't leave you by yourself. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you the very Spirit of God. And He's going to come, and He's not just going to be with you. He's going to be in you. And He'll never leave you." He says, "Don't worry. I'm telling you this. Don't get uptight. Don't get all nervous, because I'm sending Him back. And He's going to lead you and guide you into all the truth that your Father has for you. So don't get uptight. Don't get impatient. Because everything that He hears Daddy say, He'll tell you. And He'll show you what's going to happen in the future. He'll show you things to come. And so just relax. I'm leaving you my peace." Are you getting the gist of what He's saying? It's okay. It's okay. We just get so uptight. He said, "Everything I got, He's going to tell it to you. Everything I know, He's going to tell it to you." He said, "And everything Dad knows, He's told me. And so everything, I say it again, everything I got belongs to you." Do you understand that? I just love it when somebody says, "Oh, we don't know everything. Some things are just a mystery." Well, you know, ignorance isn't really a mystery. Ignorance just means we haven't learned yet. But if I understand what Jesus is saying here, He's saying, "Hey, the one living inside of you, the one that's going to live inside of you, He's got all the answers. But we have to seek. Huh? We have to knock. We have to look. We have to go after it a little bit. We have to want it." Does that make sense? Philippians 4, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing," or in other words, "don't worry about anything." Wouldn't that be great? How many sign the list for that today? Come on, if you want to sign the list, "don't worry about nothing." I'm going to sign that list today. I'll probably be worrying about something before I get out of here, but I'm going to sign that list today. Is this okay if we just talk? "Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." One translation says, "The peace of God will be your umpire." Let me just throw something in here real quick. Peace is not feelings. Huh? Because we're the natural part of us is trained to go respond to our feelings. That's not peace. And so if we don't feel something, a lot of times we'll say, I don't have the peace about that. We need to learn the difference. See, God's kingdom has nothing to do with feelings. Feelings don't produce the things in your life. The things in your life produce the feelings. And we spend our life uptight and worried, and you get to the end and you say, well, gosh, why did I worry about all that? How many was worrying something about a year ago, worrying about something about a year ago, and you can't even remember what it was now? And most of the stuff we worry about never happens anyway. Let me just say this. God's purpose for your spirit is to be a sanctuary, not to be a war zone. You didn't hear that. God's purpose for your spirit is to be a sanctuary, not to be a war zone. It's a place where His Spirit can speak to your spirit. A place where He can reveal Himself to you. A place where He can reveal His love to you. A sanctuary, a safe haven, a fellowship with Him. Where He can share with you the good things that He has planned for you. Once you quit thinking about the big picture and just worry about the little picture He has for you today. Because if you take care of today, if you listen today, tomorrow will kind of take care of itself. And if you're listening today, tomorrow will be a lot better than today is. See, maybe God doesn't want me to speak to 20,000 people and get them saved. Maybe He wants me to talk just to you today. God told me years ago, I was just, hey, if you don't know it, I'm a soul winner, man. I just, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus in your heart, I want you to get saved. I've had people leave because all He ever talks about is people getting saved. Well, that's all I'm going to talk about is people getting saved, because you need to be saved. And so I'm, that's just part of my calling. Don't ask me to do a funeral. Don't ask me to do anything with a group of people if you don't want to know how to be saved, because I'm going to tell you how to be saved. If you're afraid they'll be offended, then you better get somebody else, because I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Oh, I'm not going to kick the flowers over and spit and all the rest of that and let the veins pop out in my neck and all that, but I want you to know how to be saved. And if you're here today and you don't know how to be saved, He said, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if you don't know you're saved, that's why you're here today. One day I was thinking, I said, oh Lord, I said, I just want to see thousands saved. And I had that in my heart. It was kind of like, okay. In my heart, like when you feel like God's telling you, okay, He wants to see them saved too. And I said, well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that, God? He said, one at a time. Yep. One at a time. How are you going to find God's plan and purpose for your life? Just one little thing at a time. Just one at a time. Just worry about what He's telling you today. About the temper, or about you did this. Just think about the little stuff He's doing here. Just think. See, because if He lays it on your heart to call Vicky and you don't call Vicky, or He lays it on your heart to go see Paul and you don't go visit Paul, if He can't tell us the little bitty things and us do them, what makes us think He's going to tell us some of the big things? Well. just relax. Let God do it. He'll tell you those things, and then you can walk in them. I believe God has a specific place for you. I believe He has a specific geography for you. I was reading this scripture in Acts 17, and I guess I've read it a million times. I just never read it in the NIV, and I didn't know what it said. You never did that, did you? You ever read anything and you don't know what it said? Am I the only one? I'm going to get saved here when we have this altar call in a minute. Acts 17:26 says, From one man He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the time set for them and the exact place where they should live. I mean, He has this mapped out. It goes on to say, so we should go after Him with everything and with all our heart, and I mean, group Him and go after Him and want Him more than anything else, and to find His plan for our life and His purpose for our life. And it goes on, in Him we live and move and have our being. Well, I just saw that yesterday, so I'm going to have to study. We might get a whole sermon out of that, but I believe God has a place for you, and a regular geography. I was born in Galveston. You know, the island, the Gulf, the waves coming in, the sand beaches. You know, go fishing out on the piers on New Year's Day, and you know, and really, I, you know, snow and cold and all that stuff, I just don't enjoy that. You know, and I've been, when my son was living in Florida, and of course now he moved up to Illinois, so I told him, I said, I ain't coming up here, you know. If you go back to Florida, I'll go down and see you down there, you know. But I just, the tropical climate and just the palm trees, and I mean, man, I just love that. I just love to get a suntan in the summertime, and you know, and I still have some hair that the breeze can blow through, and you know, but you know what? Those places aren't the places that God's placed me. He placed me in Joplin. From the time I was a little kid, Joplin was in my heart. I'd come back up here and spend the summers with my grandmother. And my point is I believe He has a place for you geographically, and I believe He has a church for you. I believe He places us exactly where He wants us, is what I'm saying. And you know, I've got some folks that are still good friends of mine, and they came to church here, and God touched them, and they knew in their heart they were getting touched, that God was ministering to them, and because of finances, because of job situations, because of this or because of that, they've pulled the roots up and they've moved to a different state, and this isn't just one family, so don't think you're trying to figure out who they are. I mean, this happened. I've been here for 42 years and I've watched this happen. And they've uprooted themselves, and there's a danger in that, folks. You kind of need to say, God, where am I supposed to be? You know how many people that God's told to be at this church and they're not? You know, we've got families here, the Rollers, they're visiting their family this week, but they moved all the way over from way over in the middle of Kansas, moved all the way over here because God told them I was supposed to be their pastor and this was supposed to be their church. And that, I didn't even mean to get into all this. I'm just saying that we need to concentrate and say, God, what do You have for me? You know, are you sitting here and is God touching you? And 1 Corinthians 12:18 says this. I'll try to make this make sense, because I'm just not trying to get you, if you're, especially if you're new here or first time here, I'm not trying to get you to stay here, but you should. Says, giving you a hard time, and but it says, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Let me just say something. God puts you in this church, so not just for you, but it is important for you and your family. Not just for that, but he puts you in this church so that you can help this church be all that it's supposed to be. Does that make sense? And everybody that comes in, I just think, man, they've got a piece. They got a piece of this puzzle. They got a piece of this plan. And that's the part I'm talking about that our heart needs to go after God with. And you know, the enemy's going to do everything to tell you to leave, to tell you not. And if this is your first time here today, just relax. Just relax. You won't go to hell if you decide to not come to church here. And mostly, usually, whenever people are telling me that, when people come to me and they say, it happens almost every week, they say, well, we've been looking for church, we're just looking. And I usually say something like, hey, why don't you hang around for a little while and see what God tells you? And if he tells you this is where you're supposed to be, then this is where you're supposed to be. But if he doesn't, then we'll help you find some place, because we want you to be where you are supposed to be. Does that make sense? This would be a lot easier if there wasn't any first-timers here today. But we don't ever hardly have a Sunday like that anymore. But my point is, I'm talking about a condition of your heart. The wanting to be all that God wants you to be, the wanting to be where he wants you to be. And I'm just going to say this, the devil never told you you weren't supposed to be here until God told you you were. Huh? That's kind of like when you get saved. You notice the devil doesn't tell you when you're not saved. He doesn't come tell you you're not saved. Huh? No, but as soon as you get saved, then he starts telling you, yeah, you're not right. Well, you're not saved. Well, you know how bad you are. Well, you know, you blah, 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 blah. He does the same thing with everything in our life. I don't know. I'm just trying to quit listening to him. How about you? You see, I believe God's got his best for you. And you know, you don't know what it does whenever you know you have something God's laid on your heart, and you know it's something that's going to help this person or that person or these people or that family, or and you come in to give it everything you got, and those people aren't there that day. Do you understand that the thief wants to steal, kill, and destroy? It's not a big deal on my end, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm just saying, don't let him steal what God has for you. Don't let him trick you. You know how many times I wanted to quit church? We won't even talk about that. One time I did quit. I walked right out that door. Walked out the aisle. I said, I'm through. I'm done. I'm finished. I quit. I'm done. And I walked down that sidewalk there, and I always parked over in front of the teen center. Now it was a license bureau then, and I always parked in the no parking zone because I wanted to, you know. And I just, you know, and I'm huffing and puffing all the way down the sidewalk. I'm through, God. I'm through. And I get over there, and I grab the door handle of my car, and a little voice inside of me says, "That's okay." And I went. He said, "Just do what you want to do. Don't do what I want you to do." And before I could pull the door out, I'm sorry, God, I repent, I'm sorry. I quit parking in the no parking zone too, you know. I mean, evidently there was a bigger problem than, you know, evidently it wasn't anything that went on here, it was something that went on inside of me. Anyway, But God has plans for you. He has good things for you. He wants to have, he has new opportunities for you. He has the right people for you to meet at the right time, that he's given you favor with them. I mean, he's here to release all these good things for you in the right season. And, you know, I don't know about you, but man, when January gets here, I'm already wanting spring to be here. Come on, let's do it, you know. But you know what? Spring never shows up until it wants to. Huh? Man, when it's cold and winter, it's all, man, I want summer. I don't like it. I want summer. But you know what? It never happens till it's the right season. And you can get all worked up and you can get all twisted and you can get all discouraged and all the rest of that and confused. But when it's the right season, God's going to do the things He has planned for you. You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm going to say, everybody just take a breath. Come on, everybody do that. Take a breath. Don't make me do that too many times because I might get dizzy here and fall down. But we get all confused and all think what I'm trying to say is it's okay. You know, you're not going to miss God. What did God say about Solomon? He said, because this was in your heart. Because this was in your heart. He said, I'll not only give you what you asked for, but I'll give you everything that I've been wanting to give you. Because it was in your heart. See, I'm just saying, it's the condition of your heart. See, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, God says, He says, my eyes are looking to and fro throughout the whole earth. I'm looking for anyone whose heart's perfect towards me, or whose heart's coming after me. Why? So I can do some big things in their life. So where's your heart? Quit worrying about how you're going to get there and whether you've missed it and what exactly God's purpose. See, because when you're all emotional and you're all twisted up and you're all confused, you can't hear what God's saying you any, telling you anyway. Every once in a while, I just have to go, okay, God, hold it, man, hold it. I've got to be the dumbest kid in your group, but I hold it. I just can't. I'm not doing this no more. I'm not going down that path anymore. I just need to hear you. And sometimes I'll just go and sit down for a day, and I'll put Copeland's channel on, or I'll just start Googling articles. A thought will come to mind, and I'll Google an article about it, and I'll just study, and I'll just read my Bible, and sometimes I'll read it for hours, and it doesn't make any sense. But every once in a while, I just got to go, hold it, hold it. I can't hear anything from you, God, when I'm all worked up like this. So I just need to relax. Where's your heart? What's in your heart? If your heart's towards God, it's going to be okay. Going to be okay. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above everything else, because out of it comes everything you do. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because your heart, out of your heart will come all the direction of your life. Guard your heart. What's he saying? He's saying, keep your heart towards me. Keep your heart coming after me, and the issues of life that come after you, out of you, will take you to the right place. What was David's key to fame? What was his ticket to greatness? He was a man after God's own heart. Do I have any ladies here that volunteer to do that today? I just want to be a person after your heart. Any men that say, I just want to be a man after your heart, a woman after your heart. If that's where you're at, it's going to be okay. You might not please everybody else. You might not please the pastor. You probably won't even please yourself. But it doesn't matter. Keep your heart going after God, and it's going to be okay. Proverbs says, trust in Him with all your heart. David said in Psalms 51, he said, create in me a pure heart, O God, a renewed and steadfast spirit within me. Jesus said in one of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:8, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Listen to me. We're going to see God when we go to heaven, but he's not talking about heaven. He said, so a pure heart. Blessed are those that have a pure heart, a heart after God, because you'll see Him. You'll see Him in everything. You'll see Him in everything that happens. You'll see Him in everything around you. You'll see Him in nature. You'll see Him in every circumstance. You'll see Him in everything. You understand what I'm saying? It's more than just visually seeing His frame, which I don't know if we could handle that. Evidently, nobody else was ever able to. We probably wouldn't be able to either. But do you understand? My pure heart is God, I want you. Man, God, you're the center of my universe. You're the center of my life. Are you with me? And now everything that happens to me, I figure it out. I go, what are we doing now, God? You know, everything is God. Everything, you see Him in everything in your life. Everything you do at the job, everything you do with your kids, everything that happens around you. Well, I guess I better wrap this up. I'm just saying, go after God with all your heart, and you won't be very far off. When you feel yourself getting confused and getting frustrated and getting all nervous about that, you know, all this, just say, no, hold it. Hold it. What did He say? He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back to live in you, and you can lead Him and guide Him into everything I have for you. No. He said, He'll lead you and guide you. Won't you? See what I'm talking about with your heart? I'm talking about getting your car in gear. You got it in drive. You got your hand on the wheel. You got your foot on the gas. And now you're ready. Your heart's there. Now you're ready. He can lead you and guide you. Most of us are still, we're trying to get the car started, and we're, you know, one of the tires is flat, and we're, you know, and then when we get it started, it doesn't run very good and can't keep it running. And you know, I'm talking about our life. He'll lead you and guide you. Is this bringing you any peace? See, your purpose is not to work and to fret and to worry about finding God's will for your life. No, His purpose is for you to just live it. Huh? He loves you. Won't you enjoy the day? Some of you haven't enjoyed a day in so long that when I say that, it sounds sacrilegious to you. His purpose is for you to love Him with all your heart. His plan for you is to be able to do great things through you. His giftings in you are to equip you to be able to do those things. And His placement are those places He puts you so you can be able to do them. He places you. You don't place you. He places you. Can I tell you something? If you're going after God, and I've learned this. I'm learning this. If you're going after God with all your heart, I'm sorry, you can't miss it. And you can't mess it up. Believe me, if I couldn't mess it up, nobody can mess it up. If you just keep going after His heart, you're going to end up in the right place at the right time. You're going to accomplish the right things. He just wants you to walk with Him. Love Him with all your heart. Walk in faith. Walk in the one that created you, with the one that created you, with the one that loves you. Stay the one that will stay with you no matter what. Listen to me. He's not here for you. You know, nothing's worse than a relationship that you can't depend on. Huh? You know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, Pam and I, we've been married, 41 and a half years. But you know what the thing is? I never have to worry if she's going to be with me or not. She doesn't have to worry if I'm going to be with her or not. See, we're not worried about each other getting mad and leaving or anything else. You know, no, hold it. Hold it now. Somebody asked me, have you ever thought about divorce? I said, no. Murder, yes, but divorce, no. You understand? I'm talking about a relationship, man. Hold it, man. I mean, she's seen me at the worst. She's seen me at the good, in the good times. But she's seen me in the bad times too, and vice versa. But you know, hold it. You know, it's just all part of the deal. And I'm not thinking about leaving her. She's not thinking about leaving me. Listen. You don't have a God that just loves you when you're doing stuff right, that just loves you when you look good or when you smell good or when everybody thinks you're good. You have a God that loves you all the time. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Face it, folks. Sometimes you just stink. But He loves you anyway. He's not going to leave you just because you messed up, just because, you know, I mean, you have people that you can depend on and you think they're there, but when push comes to shove, they're not in your corner. But God's going to always be in your corner. Well, that sounds like a good place to quit. Just get started. Don't be waiting for something to happen so you know what you're supposed to do. Hey, start doing something now. You know something to do. So do what you know to do. And when you take that step, He'll show you another step and another step. And the more you do, when you finally use that one talent, you'll have two. And then when you use those five talents, you'll have 10. And when you use those 10, you'll have 20. And this thing can just go on and on forever. You're not going to miss it. Sorry. If you being bad and if you messing up and all the rest of that to make you miss it, you'd already be missed. Huh? I just believe I have a God that knows how to put all the pieces in the right place. If I'm going after His heart and I get in the wrong place, I'll be in the right place. I was reading a story a while back, and we'll quit. Is this the second quit or the third quit? We'll quit. I was reading a story a while back, and a guy was stranded on a desert island. And man, you know, he got there, and luckily there was fruit trees, bananas, coconut, different things. And so he began to eat the fruit. He took the palm branches and made him a little lean-to. And he was, you know, he just kept thinking, is anybody ever going to rescue me? You know, where am I at? How in the world could anybody ever find me? And he's desperate, and he's doing that. And after a week or two, he finally gets some strength back where he can begin to look around a little bit. And he sees this hill, and he says, well, I'm just going to go up to the top of that hill and see. And he climbs up to the top of the hill, and he looks over, and there's a great big city on the other side of the hill. And he thought, man, I wasn't lost. I wasn't very far off after all. The things God has for you, when you start hearing Him and you start seeing, you're going to see, I wasn't very far off. I mean, gosh, I thought I was really blowing it. I wasn't that bad. I wasn't that far off. God knew all the time what was going on. Well, give Him some praise. That's a good idea. That means I quit. How about that? And God loves you. And I don't know who's here today, and you don't know Jesus. Do you have the basic things done? Have you asked Him into your heart, or have you gotten saved? Have you been baptized in water? Have you been filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues? If you've had the base things, that's the three things that they did all through the book of Acts, that Christians did all through the, that was the three base things. Okay, Lord. If you're filled with the Spirit, you weren't filled with the Spirit to have an experience way back then. Your prayer language, speaking in tongues, isn't something you should do once in a while. It's something you should do every day. It's a line of communication with your Father. I told somebody the other day, I said, I pray in tongues more than I pray in English. I don't know who that was for, but I'm not talking about, did you get filled way back there? No, I'm talking about, do you have an open line of communication with Him? But if you've been saved and baptized, and all that, now why don't you just realize that you probably are where you're supposed to be for right now. You wouldn't have heard this today. You probably are okay. And even if you are a little off, you're not very far off. So why don't you just say today, you know, Lord, I just want to be all I can be for You. And if all I can be for You, if all You got for me is to work in the nursery, to count the offering, if all You got for me, God, is to, you know, lock the building and shut the building, if all You got for me, I just want to be all you want me to be. And here I am. And right where you are is where you'll start. You can't get to where you're supposed to be if you don't start where you're at. And then you'll find out just over that hill, there's a whole big old city. You weren't that far off. Isn't God good? Just give Him some praise again. Tell you what we're going to do, because it's time to quit here. But if you don't know for sure right now that you're saved, if there's any problem in there at all, I want you to come down and let one of us pray with you. Because I want you to know today. So we're just going to sing a song. If you're here and you need to be baptized, come on, we'll baptize you. Leonard's standing there waiting to baptize you. If you need to be filled with the Spirit, Kenny will pray for you. You'll get filled with the Spirit. What do you need from God today? But if you're not saved, I want you to be saved today. I want you to know for sure if you die, you'll go be with God. Everybody stand. Let's just sing. Go ahead and start. Don't wait on me, because we'll get into another message here. If you need to come for anything, come. And if you don't need to come for anything, why don't you just praise Him right now? Just thank Him right now. I don't know who you are, but you don't know that you're right with God. If that's you, come on. Summer coming. What about you? What about you? Who else? Come on. Come on. Who else? Praise the Lord. Who else? Come on. Come on. Who else? God loves you. He loves you. He cares about you. And He wants that goodness, that good, those good things He has planned for you, He wants them to start operating in your life today. So if you need to come, come on, come on. Maybe you've been saved, but you just know you haven't been living for God, and you say, I just want to rededicate, or I just want to start fresh, or however you want to term it, it really doesn't matter. It's what's in your heart. And if you need to do that today, if there's anything in there, just say, God, I don't want this in my heart anymore. And everybody that's here today, you could say right now, right where you are, God, I want all that You got for me. I want to be all that You want me to be. I want to do all that You want me to do. I want Your plan for my life and Your purpose. And so I'm just going to love You with all my heart. And I'm going to believe You to lead me and guide me where You want me to be. Anybody else? Anybody else? Father, thank You for these that have come, and I thank You for those that will even come after we dismiss. We just thank You, Lord. We just thank You for what You did for us. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that You love us. We give You praise and glory and honor, Lord. If you still need to come, I'm going to, don't run off yet. I want to bless you before you go. But if you still need to come after we dismiss, come on down. We'll be here. We'll pray with you. Oh, because we want all God's got for you. We want you to live in His goodness. We want you to know that if you die, you'll go be with Him. So come. If you haven't come, and as soon as we dismiss, you come. But for right now, I speak God's blessings into you. I just believe Him to be big in your life today, to be big in your life this week. I believe He's got things for you that you haven't even seen, you haven't imagined. And I just believe those things to start coming and manifesting themselves to you this week. I believe that for you. Will you expect to receive it? Everybody say, I just expect God to do good things for me. You expect it. He'll come. Hey, I love you. Thank you for being here. If you're a first-time attender, I'd love to shake your hand, give you some information about the church. If you still need to come, come. 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to be over here listening to Frank. You don't want to miss it. You'll be blessed.